This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. When Alice Hoffman found a lump in her breast 15 years ago, she was convinced that she had imagined it. These things don't happen to me, she thought. But of course, they do. They can happen to all of us.
When she got the diagnosis, she was a busy mother of two young sons. She was caring for her own ill mother and, of course, very much involved in her own writing. Alice Hoffman, who lives in Boston, is the best-selling author of 21 novels, including Here on Earth and The Dove Keeper. She's also written 3 books of short fiction and 8 books for children and young adults.
Her latest book is nonfiction, a brief collection of lessons about surviving breast cancer and moving on with her life. Many of them are simple and straightforward, but always eloquently expressed, and many are wrapped up in personal stories from her life. The book is called Survival Lessons, and Alice Hoffman, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's very good to have you.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
It's really a touching book, and I want to jump right into it. Early on, you talk about why you wrote this, and you say when you were in treatment, you needed a guide, but you couldn't find one. What did you need? What kind of guide were you looking for?
I needed advice on how to be the patient because I was so used to taking care of people and I just never imagined myself as an ill person. Hmm. And I couldn't find the book I was looking for. What I mostly did was I talked to survivors. I wanted to hear how people survived.
Hmm. Well, I want to go through a bunch of these lessons as much as we have time for, but I want to also make clear because as I read through this book, it seems pretty clear that these aren't lessons. This isn't a book just for cancer survivors, is it?
No, I think it's really for anyone who's experiencing loss and trauma, whether it's the loss of a child or the breakup of a relationship. I think it really all follows the same pattern and the same path. We're shocked when it mm-hmm. happens to us.
Yeah, we're shocked when it happens to us. And listeners, we want you involved in this conversation. We're talking to the writer Alice Hoffman about her new book, Survival Lessons. It's a collection of wisdom drawn from her own experience with cancer. But we want to ask you, what are your most useful lessons when adversity strikes? How do you regroup and move forward? What's your top survival lesson? And what questions do you have for Alice Hoffman? You'll hear about some of hers in a moment. You can join the conversation at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So I wanted to just tick through, Alice, more than a couple of these. The book begins with this idea, choose your heroes. How do heroes help us?
Well, I think, you know, when you're experiencing this great loss, you need someone who's been there before. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when we choose our heroes of people who have managed to survive. And for me, one of those heroes was Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. She always was a hero of mine. When I was a girl, I was sort of obsessed with her as a writer and as a survivor. And I really went back to her. And I think it's very important who you pick as your model and your model of how to get through this kind of time.
And talk about putting things in perspective. You have a wonderful quote from Anne Frank. She says, "I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains," which is quite a statement given what she went through.
It really is. And, you know, for me personally, I am actually a very pessimistic person. Mm-hmm. So I needed the optimism of other people. I was a student, really, of optimism.
Hmm. And you also mention, in terms of your heroes, your mother. And it wasn't always a straightforward relationship for you, as you write. She divorced. She took to her bed, left you at the age of 8 to sort of keep house and take care of her, right, in many ways. And yet she rallied, married again, became a teacher, a social worker. And you write that she possessed a true gift. She had the ability to enjoy herself and much more. Right?
Yes. I mean, I think to enjoy yourself is a gift. As a girl, I really resented that about her. Mm. But as an adult, looking back, I really admire her for being able to pull herself together and to be able to enjoy her life.
Yeah. And is that what unites these heroes of yours? It seems like there's an ability to see beauty in the world, even when there is great difficulty and adversity.
Yeah. You know, that was the thing I couldn't do and the thing I needed to do. Mm-hmm. I needed to realize that every day mattered. And that is very easy to forget when you're in the midst of some trauma. It's easy to forget all the time.
Yeah.
And I find that I still have to remind myself that every day is like a little life.
Mm. Yeah. And how did you do that? I mean, how would you sort of remind yourself of the beauty in the world when you were going through what had to be a very difficult situation with all those responsibilities of kids and a ailing mother? How did you remind yourself?
Well, it was really a learning experience. The first thing I did was to join a survivors group. Mm. And for me, I feel like it's really important to be with other people who are experiencing whatever it is that you're experiencing. They know how you feel, you know, whether it's losing a loved one or whether it's an illness. For me, it was a breast cancer survivor group. That helped enormously. Mm. And the other thing I needed to do, which was very difficult, was to slow down. Just slow down, to take a walk, to look out the window, these very, very simple things that I'd forgotten about.
When you say you joined a survivor network, I'm wondering if that came naturally to you, only because I can imagine some people are joiners and that would sort of be an instinct. Maybe it wasn't an instinct for you.
It wasn't an instinct for me. I mean, I am very, very private, and I felt like I could be anonymous in the group.
Yeah.
And that we could relate to each other in terms of what we had in common.
Yeah. There's a theme that runs through this book that I just found so touching, and it's this notion that when adversity sort of hits us, somehow we are put in this position, if we're lucky, of kind of noticing the beauty in the world. It might almost, and I'll give you a sort of personal experience for my situation. I haven't dealt with cancer, but I've dealt with the death of someone very, very close to me. And I'm thinking a few years ago of my father's sort of slow death. And I was with him a lot when it happened. And it was so difficult for obvious reasons for everyone in the family. And I found that the only way I could get through the day would just be to sort of leave his room and go out on the porch. This was in southern New Hampshire. And really try to come into the moment, the beauty of the day, the mountain, the air, the birds. And it worked. And it was sort of like, oh, my God, there is so much beauty out there.
I think that's it. You know, it's the idea that you can look at a leaf, the kind of things that we forget to do. I always recommend doing something with a dog because I always feel that a dog brings you into the here and now.
Yeah.
And it's that whole idea of being here in this moment, because this moment is really all we have.
Tell us about a story from your life with a dog, because you write about that in this book, right?
Oh, I feel that all my major relationships have been with dogs. And I feel part of the reason is because they've pulled me into life. When you walk through the woods with a dog, it's just a whole different experience than being with another person or being by yourself. I also feel the whole idea of, you know, that kind of unconditional love, that it doesn't matter if you're sick, if you're ill, if you're, you know, it doesn't matter to a dog. The essence of you is what matters.
Listeners, we're talking to Alice Hoffman, the writer, about her new book, Survival Lessons. It's a collection of lovely, very sweetly rendered essays drawn from her own experience with cancer. We want to ask you to join the conversation. What are your most useful lessons when adversity strikes? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Another lesson, Alice Hoffman, choose your friends. And this chapter begins with a very simple line. When you have a dinner party, only invite people you want to talk to. Your preference would be Emily Dickinson, the Brontes, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, I would love to have that. And a bunch of teenagers.
Right.
I think that would be a great mixture.
Right. But among, of course, the dead writers can't come. But in terms of living people, you say very young people and very old people.
Yeah, because I feel like they're very present. I love that. You know, I've always spent a lot of time with older people. I was very, very close to my grandmother. And I feel that, you know, the stories that they tell us about how they survived are really important.
Yeah. In this section, there's another piece of wisdom that sort of resonated with me. Make time for old friends, you say, but then you write, the truth is some of your closest friends may disappear during your most difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hard truth for us, I think, realizing that an old friend, maybe your oldest friend, isn't really there anymore, but you need to.
Well, I think that happens sometimes. Some people just can't handle grief for whatever the reason. It may be their own personal experience. They can't walk into a hospital. They can't deal with funerals. They can't deal with illness.
Mm.
And some relationships fall apart under the stress and the pressure. But the wonderful thing is that some relationships are really surprising in how loyal people can be, and new people appear in your life.
Well, tell me a story or two about your experience, about either one of those scenarios. I mean, first of all, did you sort of have to let an old friend go because they just couldn't deal with what you were going through?
Well, I think so. And, you know, for me, it's always very hard to let go. And I think if somebody's not there for you, you know, you have to just let them go and move on. And, you know, part of what I say is that it's really important to choose not only your friends, but your relatives, because this can be also true with your relatives. And even if people say you can't choose your relatives, you can choose who you're going to spend time with.
Right. And sometimes this is because some people just aren't good dealing with someone in a particular situation in a hospital. I mean, a difficult medical challenge. And sometimes it's really trivial stuff like someone's munching a pizza in front of you when you're feeling ridiculously nauseous from chemotherapy, right?
That's true. But if you are feeling okay, I do have in Survival Lessons the best recipe for brownies.
Well, I wanted to say, because this isn't just about advice. You do. You've got recipes for brownies in here and other treats like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And I have a wonderful recipe from Julia Childs, who's also was a breast cancer survivor, and we did some fundraising together, and it is a recipe for the perfect egg.
You know, I was really relieved to read that particular recipe, because it's a recipe that just about anybody can get their head around. It pretty much involves putting the egg in water and boiling it.
That's pretty much it, but in a special way.
In a special Julia Child way. But Julia Child's in there for a reason as well, not just that she knew how to boil an egg, right?
I really admired her, and I was so lucky to get to know her a little bit towards the end of her life through breast cancer. And I just feel like she did everything first, and she was so generous at all times. And I think a lot about giving back is something that feeds your soul. And I think she was always in the process of giving back.
Another lesson in survival lessons, choose whose advice you take. In your case, your grandmother gave some pretty sound advice, and I'll just quote a tiny bit of it. Don't take rides with strangers. Don't drink soda. Watch out for chemicals. Don't forget to write.
Yes, those were all very important to her. You know, I was so lucky because I always feel like if there's one person who believes in you, you've got it made. And for me, she was that person. I always took her advice. But I think especially now with the internet and when you have an illness and you can get so much conflicting information that you have to really be careful about who you're going to listen to.
Well, let's take a couple of calls. Listeners, again, the reminder, we're talking here to Alice Hoffman. She's written a new book called Survival Lessons. This is about her experience and sort of in coming back and reclaiming her life after being diagnosed with cancer some 15 years ago. You can join the conversation at 800-423-8255. Let's go to Rebecca, who's calling from Malden. Hi, Rebecca. You're on the air with Alice Hoffman.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm very excited to share some of the wonderful words of wisdom that my grandmother also shared with me. Sadly, she passed away 16 years ago from cancer, and some things that she's always said that remind me when I'm going through things that are tough, the first one is that every day above ground is a good one. The second is that it never hurts less with time, it just hurts less often. And then, of course, the last one that really gets me through anything, and I share it with my students because I'm also a teacher, is that you can do anything knowing it's only temporary. And those are the three things that get me through.
Rebecca, thanks so much for that. Really great addition to this conversation. Alice, what do you hear there?
Great advice from another grandmother. I think those of us who had grandmothers and were close to our grandmothers are extremely lucky.
You know, this particular quote that Rebecca mentioned, you refer to something like this in the book. It never hurts less with time, just less often. And you can help me out here, but I'm recalling this image that you created in the book at one point where the pain is still there, but it's like a star that sort of recedes and the other sort of stars that sort of are the rest of your life begin to take shape.
I think it does recede to some extent. You know, when I asked my oncologist, you know, am I going to write about cancer for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And she said to me, you know, the farther away from it, it won't be the main character anymore. It'll be the friend down the street. And then it'll be, you know, a neighbor in another town. It will get farther and farther away from you. And she said to me, and it's really true, it doesn't have to be your whole story. It's a chapter.
Sure. Why, and this is related to that, you were diagnosed 15 years ago. It's taken you 15 years to write this book. I know you were busy with other kinds of writing, but why did you write it now?
No, it's funny because it's my shortest book and it took me the longest time to write it. I think I needed that time to process it, to feel like I was okay, and to feel that I could write about it in an intimate level. I feel that I wrote this book as if I was writing to a friend. If after 15 years I knew something more than I did when I was first diagnosed and I was writing a letter to a friend.
There's a very, it's all pretty powerful, but the part that moved me the most was this section that you called Choose to Accept Sorrow. And this is an idea that seems so central in what you're talking about. And at the heart of this idea is the book Man's Search for Meaning, which you read during your radiation treatment. And this was written by Viktor Frankl. Yeah. Remind us who Viktor Frankl was and tell us what he said.
He was a psychiatrist who had been through the Holocaust and who had lost his entire family in the Holocaust. And so his studies and his book, Man's Search for Meaning, was an exploration of the meaning of sorrow. Mm. Why do we have sorrow? Why do we have to go through the horrors that we go through and the tragedies that we go through? And ultimately, the way I read his book was, you know, that the answer really is that sorrow defines us. It makes us who we are. We would not be ourselves without it. And it's in everyone's life, whether we realize it at the moment or not. It's what life is really all about, is facing sorrow.
It seems, too, that what touched me so much about what you described, what he said, it's this idea that the point isn't so much that these bad things happen to us, it's how we respond to these bad things, right?
Absolutely. And it's taken me a really long time to know that, and I feel like I'm still learning it. Because when bad things happen, you feel like they're happening to you, and you are a victim.
Right.
But you can always choose the way you're going to respond to what happens to you. And I'm still learning that.
Mm. Well, what's the most useful thing that you did in terms of responding to the cancer?
I think I stepped away a little bit outside of my life, and I took time to do very simple things, things I wouldn't allow myself to do in ordinary circumstances, whether it was making brownies or going for a really long walk or just sitting and looking out the window. I allowed myself to just be without any kind of feeling of what I was doing it for. I was just doing it in the moment.
Mm. I think one of the things, too, that you did, and maybe you're too modest to bring this up, is you decided to look for ways to help other cancer survivors. I mean, the advance of this book, for example, is helping to pay for that cause.
That's true. That is going.
Why is that important, the sort of giving back?
Well, I think that's something I learned from my grandmother, because mm-hmm. even when she was in her 80s, she was volunteering at what she called an old age home. And the idea of giving back, I think, makes you feel like you're choosing to respond in a certain way as a fighter rather than just as a victim.
Let's take another call. Deborah is calling from Needham. Hi, Deborah. You're on the air with Alice Hoffman.
Hi, Alice, and thank you for taking my call. And I've certainly, what I like about what you had to say is that it didn't matter what your tragedy is, it just depends on how you deal with it. And it's 40 years ago for me that I had a child. He died when he was 6 weeks old. Hmm. And in those days, there weren't any support groups. Yeah. And all you had were your family. And they weren't the people that could help me, because those are the people that were crying around me. And I found the only way that I was going to survive were to find people that brought me up in my life and not down. And I had to find people to listen and to talk to and that made me smile. Eventually, I did have to divorce, and I couldn't be closer to my mother and my whole family on my side, but they couldn't read me and they couldn't help me. And you do have to find people that bring you up in this world.
Deborah, thank you so much for sharing that story. It's beautiful. And Alice, there's Deborah talking about choosing friends, choosing family, choosing people.
I think what Deborah said is exactly the way I felt. I felt like I needed to be with people who would bring me up, just as mm-hmm. she said. But I also felt like, as she did, I needed to be with people who really understood what had happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, that goes unspoken. You could just be together without having to rehash it or talk about it, or you can talk about it. But I think, you know, she suffered a great loss, and I really admire her.
Hmm. Deborah, thanks so much for that call. Let's go to Jack, who's calling from Medford. Hi, Jack, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? And Allison, thank you very much for taking my call. One is appreciate your conversation and also your strengths in regards to dealing with your issue with cancer. One is I'll have to say that I can definitely sympathize and understand the love of a grandmother. I had two grandmothers that raised me, one from the either house and one from the either house, as it was put. But in growing up, they were a huge factor in molding me. And 12 years ago, though, I had lost my wife due to ALS. And not addressing that and trying to act like John Wayne after she had passed away and not addressing it, I find myself now, after 12 years of her passing, that it's raised its ugly head and I'm trying to deal with it now. And really the main thing that I'm saying is that people should seek professional help in regards to a loss, especially if it's your spouse. And also at a young age, my wife was 45 when she passed. That regardless of how you feel, whether you can handle it or not, I think professional help is definitely a strong point in resolving or at least getting through tough times. Obviously, so with myself, it's been 12 years and I'm just dealing with it now.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for the call, and of course we're very sorry for your loss, and I'm glad you're getting the help that you need. Alice, what do you hear in Jack's story?
Well, I really feel for Jack, and I feel like it took me 15 years to write this book and to face some of the sorrow, and I think that's one of the things that I talk about in survival lessons, is if you run away from sorrow, you're going to wind up facing it sooner or later. And I think he's very wise in saying people need professional help, and there are groups out there for the family and friends of people who are ill, because they also need a lot of support.
There's a nice section in your book, too, where you say, choose to dream. As an example, you say, plan the trip you always wanted to take. You didn't have time before. You couldn't afford it. You were afraid to fly. Now just buy a ticket and stop thinking so much. You'll pay for it later. You'll take a Valium. Now you know that you have to make time.
It's true. It's true. And I did have a dream trip, and I did wind up going there. I just felt like I cannot die and not see Venice.
Hmm.
And I realized, you know, some of these things that I pushed off and thought, I'll do it someday. I'll do it in the future. The future got very close.
You know, when I read your book, I was struck by how simple and straightforward a lot of this advice was. It was beautifully expressed, but this notion of carpe diem has been around forever. Why do we find it so difficult to embrace these basic lessons? Because that's sort of one of the questions I came away after I read your book was like, yeah, this all makes sense. And yet it has to be said, and it has to be said again. And I'm glad Alice Hoffman is saying it. But
well, I think, you know, we're all in denial because it serves us. We get up every day, we go to work, we do our chores, we do everything we have to without thinking about the ultimate, you know, what we're going to have to face, which is we're going to lose the people we love. We're going to have to face illness and death. So it's a kind of a survival mechanism. But at some point, I think we have to just slow down and look at the truth kind of in the face.
Mm. The final lesson in your book, you say, choose the evidence. And this begins with the advice, write it down.
I always believe in writing it down.
not surprising hearing that from you. But tell me about the importance of that, the power of writing in these kinds of situations.
I think it's really important, whether you're a writer or a non-writer, to write down your experience. I think it validates it. I think we forget what happens. I think it's a way to share it with the people that we love. And I think it's just very important to write it down. It makes it real for yourself. It makes it into something that you control.
Mm.
And I think it's something that you can share.
Mm. And it doesn't necessarily have to be. I mean, for people who might feel intimidated by hearing Alice Hoffman say this, it's not so much that you have to write a book that's going to be published, right? Keep
right.
a journal?
No, I mean, if you want to just keep a journal, you have it for yourself and your family. I think it's very important to share what you felt.
Yeah. Of all of these many and wise lessons that you offer here, which one was the most difficult for you to learn, to follow?
That's a good question. Well, I feel they're all really difficult for me to learn, because I am a different person as a writer than I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the person that I was writing this book for was really myself. I need to learn these lessons on a daily basis.
Hmm. And I'm curious, too, you know, obviously you're known as a fiction writer. You've published 21 novels, short fiction, children's books. What was this experience like, moving into the realm of nonfiction, of advice, of sort of self-help?
this was scary for me because it was really exposing my inner self.
Yeah.
Even though I do that in fiction, it's disguised and it's, you know, transmuted and it's just different. It doesn't feel as immediate and as intimate. And I just felt like, you know, I heard my grandmother's voice kind of telling me it was all right. And that's why I feel like I wrote it as if I was writing to a friend, and it made it more personal, more intimate, and much easier for me to write.
Mm. Well, Alice Hoffman, the book is Survival Lessons from the writer Alice Hoffman. They are short, they're sweet, they're articulate, they're thoughtful, they're drawn from her experiences. And there are a lot of wise words in this small book. Thank you very, very much for coming in, Alice Hoffman, and sharing them with us. We're very grateful.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, a jazz composer interprets some of Boston's major historical events. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.